Hi, this is Mike Young with Noble Warriors. You're about to hear a message entitled The Fervent, Effective Prayer of a Righteous Man, presented by Don Coleman. Don is the pastor of East End Fellowship Church. He's from Richmond, Virginia. This workshop was part of the Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference hosted by Noble Warriors at Spotswood Baptist Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia on Saturday, March 7th, 2015. I pray the message will challenge and encourage you as you walk with Christ and lead your family.
Of course, if we're having a session on prayer, let's start with
prayer.
All right. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for allowing us to be here. And God, you're amazing. You're amazing. You're an amazing God. And so, Lord, I know that the way this room is filled, that your heart is filled. Because basic, in its basic form, prayer is talking to you. So a lack of prayer is a lack of talking to you. So, Lord, we just ask today in real ways, in manly ways, that we touch you and we touch prayer, that we would have application and not just information. We trust you now that you will do it by your Spirit, that no one here will be condemned, but we are man enough to be convicted, that any increase in prayer is an increase in our relationship with you, and so we should desire that. Now, God, I use the authority of the blood and the name of Jesus to press back everything that would try to hinder, everything that would try to distract. And God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. I boldly declare to my brothers that all of my own personal righteousness is like a filthy rag before you. All that I have is that which you've given me by your Spirit. So, God, would you protect them from anything that's not of you that would try to come through me? And so we honor you now, and we pray a big prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this room as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. That means the person beside you or near you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that was a crazy prayer. That was crazy. 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 There you go. All right. Okay, so welcome to When Men Pray, which is my title. The actual title in your program should be something towards the effect, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man. So I want to start right off the bat and make sure we got some things that we clearly understand. How do you become a righteous man? Through accepting Jesus Christ. Do we have agreement on that? Yes. I'm looking in the back. I see people in the back and heads nodding. I need the back to be in agreement. And so that's because they are a long way from me. That means I can't get to them. So the back is in agreement that the way you become a righteous man is that you encounter Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you have not yet encountered Jesus Christ, here's your opportunity. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The greatest man of all times is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay, let me say that again. The greatest man of all time was Jesus. I did not say he wasn't God. See that? But he came into the earth for the purpose of modeling to us that when we allow him to live through us, we can encounter and live in ways that he lived. We're going to go through these. I got some slides here that we're going to go through and all of that. But I just want to keep it real, gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, I'm done. I could actually leave because you made a decision to come to a session on prayer. I'm overjoyed. Amen. That we got a packed room. I'm like, what? Is it for real? I mean, I've had it happen before. I must say, it has happened before. It has happened before, but not on a regular basis. All right? And that's because we got misperceptions of prayer. You know, men like to be men. You know what I'm saying? And so what I discovered about prayer is like the greatest adventure you could ever have. It is. It's like amazing. Because it takes faith to pray. Now, one thing I noticed, all of you got a lot of faith. I'm just being honest. I was watching when I got in. I watched several of you come in. I watched several of you sit down in chairs. I didn't see one person go like this. Wait a minute. Let me see. If this chair will hold. Nobody. I'm saying, not to see one person do that. And a brother like myself that has sit on a chair and watch it break. You know, I've done that, like, blew! Okay. But to be honest, I don't go around checking chairs. I still don't do it. I got faith in dudes who make chairs. Never, don't even cross your mind. But when we talk about faith in God, it's like, oh, faith in God. Stop perpetrating. Faith is not that deep. We try to make it deep because, you know, we need to keep the preachers in business. But it's not that deep. It's not that deep. We got faith all the time. Nothing I noticed. Anybody ever heard of carbon dioxide? Ever heard of that? Ever heard of that? What would happen if this room had been filled with carbon dioxide? You come on in, you sit down, and boom, you're gone. I didn't notice one person said, hold up, let me check and see before I go in there, is there any carbon dioxide in there? How are you going to check that anyway? It's invisible. Is it? Now, again, man, I'm telling you. Hey, look. You go and see some people on the floor, you're like, yeah, bro, I ain't going up in there. Hold up. Something ain't right with that joke. Some people on the floor. And they not knocked out in the spirit for us Pentecostals. Thank you so much for coming. All right, I'm Don. Definitely want to put it out there. I'm definitely a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. But right next to that, I love my wife. And, you know, at these kind of conferences, it's great to be reminded in our morning speaker in his breakout session. It was just awesome. Just, I'm grateful for my wife. Back in 2009, to tell you a little bit of my story, I was in a coma for 3.5 weeks. I was in a hospital for over 47 days. They told my sister, because they were afraid to tell my wife, only had a 15% chance of survival. One of the workshops that's going on right now is a part of my issue, is this whole thing of taking care of your temple. And I want to say to, I see some younger guys in here, please do that. I want to repent on behalf of the church, and I want to celebrate that here at this conference we are. Taking care of our bodies is holy. That is a spiritual thing that when I came up, they didn't teach me that. So I got some jacked up habits when it comes to food and stuff like that. But by the grace of God, thank you, my brother. You're a blessing, bro, because you're my elder, and I keep seeing you affirming me, man. Thank you for that, bro. That blesses my heart. But at the end of the day, God showed mercy. Anybody here, God showed mercy? I know he showed you mercy. I'm looking right at you, bro. Put your hand up. He even tried, baby. You look like my brother. We need mercy, bro. Come on. We need mercy. We need the mercy of God. And that's what happened. Literally, what happened, they said they were going to cut my leg off. I do have my leg. I am missing a few toes, but hallelujah. I can stand up and talk to you. But what was really absolutely powerful, because it does connect to this prayer thing, was my wife. My wife was praying, and other people were praying. One of the most powerful stories of my life was, and I wasn't there because I was in a coma. The doctor came in, the guy who pastors with me, he's a young guy, he's growing in his faith and stuff, but he was a man of God, ordained minister, all of that. But the doctor came out and said, we're going to have to cut Mr. Coleman's leg off. Just want to let y'all know that. And the young brother was like, oh, man. But I had a praying mother in the church. She was there at the same time. And so the doctor said, we're going to have to cut. She said, no, you're not. No, that's not happening. And, you know, the young brother looked at her and said, oh, my God, you're making us like we're crazy. You heard what the doctor said. Why would you say that to me? She said, because I'm trusting God and not cutting his leg off. Amen. Sure enough, they took me into the surgery, threw me up on the table, doing what everything is supposed to do. They didn't cut my leg off. Amen. Somebody clap, please. That's my tradition. Well, like, I don't know if I want to clap. Yeah, hold up. I don't know. but what's more powerful than that? So they took from that hospital, they took me to another hospital. And while I was in that hospital, they were always having to check my blood. And I don't know, I got these small veins. So it would like take 20 minutes to find a vein. I'm like, oh my God. So, that's how it was. It was like that. It was it. You know, so one nurse comes in and said, Mr. Coleman, you know, we could put this PICC line in and all we do is turn it on, turn it off. I'm like, I've been in here 25 days. You just. Of course I want that. So they take me down, they roll me in, they put me on this, you know, boom, switch me from one stretcher to the next stretcher. They're doing the surgery. The nurse that's in there goes, sir, were you in that other hospital? I was like, yeah, I was in that hospital, but I don't remember anything from that hospital. I was in a coma. She said, you're a miracle. And I said, whoa, I'm a miracle. Okay, talk to me. She said, I was the nurse on the day that you were supposed to have the surgery to cut your leg off. That's what they had prepped us for, was that what they were going to do was to cut your leg off. I was there when they put you on the table, and all of a sudden the surgeon goes, there's nothing wrong with this guy's leg. From 2 weeks up, we're going to have to cut his leg off, to nothing's wrong with his leg. We got another brother working with me, baby. But come on now, here's the other miracle. For her to be that person, that now when I go get the pick line, she gets to tell me that I'm done. God is talking, God is moving. And so excuse me if I seem overexcited and confident about prayer. I'm telling you, and again, I'm specifically speaking to people who are younger than me. I'm telling you, young people, this is the greatest venture of your life, to become a man of prayer. And you don't have to get gray hair and be, you can do that now. And as a matter of fact, the younger you are, the probably more radical you can be in your prayer, because you're just crazy enough to believe, because you haven't been dumbed down by what you see, because you haven't lived long enough to see too much. Now, the rest of us, we just got to get over whatever we've seen. Or we can choose to believe in the stuff that we had not seen, that we cannot explain. And that's what happened to me, with what God did for me in that. Resurrected me in that way. Two daughters, Selah and Shekinah. Shekinah is my oldest, married to Demetrius. Selah is at Old Dominion University, and she got a friend. Any fathers in here, you know what I'm talking about? She got a friend, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and I'm working that brother on a regular basis. Yes, sir, I'm working him. But my son-in-law, Demetrius, he passed the test. Yeah, worked him. The first day he came over to see my daughter, he had on a nice suit and stuff. I took him out in the backyard. Hey, man, could you help me wash my car? He had on a suit. He said, yes, sir. I said, that's right. You're doing good, son. That's right. Help me wash the car. He tell that story all the time. Man, I can't get all cleaned up. He's going to take me out and all that and make me wash the car. That's right, bro. But these are the things that have impacted my life that I kind of live for, prayer. Another topic when I'm at these conferences, I also sometimes talk about the kingdom of God. Woo, the kingdom of God. This is what the Bible said. This is what Jesus told us to pray. Thy kingdom, come. Thy will be done on Mars, on earth, bro. God is a takeover artist. God planned it. God is trying to, like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you trying to go to heaven? Read the Bible. We'll be trying to get heaven to come to earth first. Great day, man. See, this dude crazy. Now you're thinking, maybe he should have went on to heaven, you know? fathers and sons. And when I'm talking about like that, I'm talking about the way the Apostle Paul talked about it. You have not many fathers. They're spiritual fathers, Timothy, Titus. They were sons of the Apostle Paul. A lot of people call the Pauline epistles or whatever. But if you press down into that, what you find is that Paul was talking to Titus and Timothy like his sons, his spiritual sons. And I believe one of the things that's missing today in the earth is more mature men fathering less mature men into their kingdom reality. So these are my passions. I'm ordained through an organization, Church of the Nations, praise God. Tony Fitzgerald is a gentleman who works with that, fathers me. And like I said, I co-founded a local church in the inner city of Richmond, Virginia, called East End Fellowship. Now, let me tell you what's beautiful about East End Fellowship is that it looks like this. And if we be honest, most churches on Sunday don't look like this. See that? Don't get mad at the brother. Just tell the truth. All right, you know, we ain't all together like we need to be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we got to work at that, amen? But praise God, East End, by the grace of God, me and a young, I'm non-denominational, charismatic, all of it, whatever, you mix it all, Baptist, Pentecostal, you know, I got all of it. Okay. The young brother who helped me start a church, he was a Presbyterian. You know, and so people thought that was crazy. But what was more crazy, we were like in the hood. In the hood hood. Yeah. The hood hood. And the church is 60% white with a black dude as one of the lead pastors. Don't act like that ain't strange. That is strange. All right, here we go. Boom. Here we go. The roots of a life of prayer. I'm also blessed to have a dear friend with me, Mike Crittenden. This is one of what I call my spiritual sons. He helped me out. Good brother. There you go. Pray for him, though. You know what I'm saying? Same way I'm saying pray for you. Pray for him. Don't panic, brother. Mike's a good brother. Thank you, Mike. No, man, I just want to honor you because I always need help, and you're willing to do it. The roots of a life of prayer. The life of faith requires a dependence on God. So remember, I went back to make sure people believed in this whole thing about faith in God, that to be a righteous, the effective prayer of a righteous man, okay? The only way you get righteous is that you encounter Jesus. That's it. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be the sons of God. I could get ready to go right there. Great. Man, you are not just a mere human. Can you imagine being the son of God? That God would even claim you? Now, you got on Nova Warrior shirt. He probably would work with you, but me? Like, hey, Don, you going around telling people I'm your dad? God is like, yes. See, that's amazing. But see, we so deep. We miss it. This is real. This got to be on the ground, livable. This is how this has to be. And that's what prayer is. It's not some pushing rocks up a hill. It's not just, you know, a lot of ladies in a room making noises. That you don't know what they're doing. And you're scared to go around there. But this life of faith requires a dependence on God. Now, here we go. Remember, this is a point I want you to grasp. Dependence on God. The reason we don't pray is because we don't really depend on God. That's all. That's all. I got this. You know, God, I got this. I got this one. I got this one, God. A life of faith requires a dependence on God. Prayer is how I communicate with the God I am dependent upon. Let me just pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you right now. That we would just grasp that. The part of our issue as men is that we need to humble ourselves and depend on you. Right in parentheses, I got down at the bottom. If I am not praying, then on whom am I depending? S-E-L-F. I'm depending on myself. Yo, man, I'm depending on my shit. Either way you want to say it, that's what's happening. So here's a key verse. You know it. It's familiar. I don't want to be familiar. I want to be real in your life. I want you to grasp it today. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, yeah. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Now, I want you to grasp that right off the bat. The posture of prayer, one of them is you got to humble yourself to even consider praying. It takes humility. Most of the time, men are found to be full of what? Pride. Great day. This side over here is working, bro. They said it right up. They ain't even stutter. Pride. That's it. That's good. You need to be that real with it. And seek my face. Now, that's a whole nother level but of prayer, but that's all it is. Seeking God's face is another level of pressing into prayer. It's not just talking to God. It's encountering God. It's pressing into God. And again, that's a whole nother thing I like to talk on. And to turn from their wicked ways. Hello. 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 This is what I found out. This was amazing. And you're going to think, you're going to be like, man, this dude kind of smart, man. Look at this. Look at this. I mean, that's what you're going to say. Like, oh, this dude's smart, man. But look, man, you know what I figured out? The more I pray, the less I sin. Now, that's actually a time factor. If you can sin while you're praying, you're a serious sinner. Yeah. I mean, you're just a master sinner if you can pull that off. I can't pull it off. I can't be sinning while I'm talking to God. I mean, I'm just not doing that. And so the more I pray, the less I sin, okay? Then will I hear from heaven. Amen. You see, you got to believe something today, friend. You got to believe something today. You got to believe something. I will hear and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Gentlemen, do you believe our land needs a healing? Yes. Come on, come on, come on. Now, let me tell you this. Let me work you a little bit. Like I told you, I live in the hood, so I don't even have no Fantasy Island about it. You know, but some of y'all might live like in the country where everybody nice to each other. You still, your land still needs a healing. No, man, I live in God's country. No. It still needs a healing. And see, this is part of the issue I believe we struggle with here in the famous American United States of America. What we struggle with is this. We want to believe we're something that we may used to have been versus owning who we are right now. And who we are right now is the people who need to cry out to the living God. And guess what I'm saying in that? Just in case you think, I'm not being religious and I'm not judging anybody. But I'm just saying with the Bible, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will heal the turn from their wicked way. I will heal their land. So if the land is looking jacked up, guess whose fault it is? No. Come on, somebody. Who said that? Who said that? Come on, over here. These brothers over here ain't playing. I got the prophet on the wrong side. we got to take some ownership for this craziness. Instead of picking up the paper and saying, those people are so messed up. Oh, this is all this country, the president, this my, oh, that's so hot. And God is like, so I'm God, but I can't change America? Because you sure not talking to me on a regular basis about doing that. Come on. God, deal with me. Excuse me. God, deal with me. Boom, here we go. Some more verses. Matthew 6:5-10. And when thou prayest, again, Jesus had an expectation. You see that? When you pray. You know, I know you believe in situational ethics and all that foolishness. And you free to do whatever you want to do. No, Jesus was like, when you pray. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Okay, again, part of what I want to impress to you today is actually a couple of things. But primarily, I'm hoping that somehow you will get a personal passion for prayer yourself. Then after that, I pray that you will get a passion to say at your local church, to be a man who says, go to the prayer meeting. You know, most churches, if they got a prayer meeting, when you roll up in the jank, it ain't much testosterone up in the jank. You see? Oh, come on, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And then you're mad at the sisters. Why are you mad? I mean, get up in the prayer room, see, and put some testosterone up in there. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Again, gentlemen, the power about God, there's a reason why God has now chosen to be invisible. The reason is he wants us to walk by and not by. Because that which is seen is. Come on, man, I got some Bible. Now y'all coming back over here. Oh, no, y'all over here. I'm sorry. God has a plan. It's all working for us. If we could just enter into it, and see this great adventure. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and that Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee how? Openly. See, that's what happened. You know, people were praying for me, man. Now I'm up here talking to y'all. It's five years later now. I mean, the last 5 years of my life, I have preached to more people about prayer than the whole time before. You see that? When I was 15, 15% alive, just about 85% dead, the Lord brought me back for this purpose, man. I'm telling you, I'm convinced right now, right in this room, some prayer lives going to change. You know how I know that? Because the past 3 years, every time I go somewhere and preach, something happens. Somebody, man, I'm praying more than I ever prayed in my whole life. Man, I'm leading the prayer group at my church. Now, that's exponential power. Now, I'm not just praying. I'm now leading the men's prayer group at my church. I'm leading other men to pray. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Again, this is not religious prayer. So I'm sorry, you can go learn about that at another class. I'm not talking religious, but I'm talking about keeping it real with God. Hello, God made you. Let me excuse me. God made you. So God understands how you talk, how you relate, how you communicate. You don't have to. Thou most holiest of the righteous Father, I cometh now with the before for the if. Now again, if you pray like that, just so you're praying, I'm down with that. But if you feel like if I can't do that, then you don't have to not pray because you don't talk like that. Don't worry about that. But like I said, don't be mad at some. I know some brothers pray like that. They be They be kicking it. I be like, yeah, brother, pray. But if you don't talk like that, then you don't have to put that on to make your prayer heard by God. Now, what is that going? Is that a list? That's a sign of, man, I'm loving that. I appreciate that. All right, thank you. Somebody got more sense than me. But not, you look at this. Pray you don't use vain repetitions and putting on and all that. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And that's another thing, too. You know, don't get caught up in all of that. Now, there is a value to a length of prayer. How do we know that? In another place in the Bible, read the whole thing, you'll find it in there. I'm going to tell it like that. Do like the Bereans. Go and see what he's saying is true. Read the whole Bible. And what you will find in there is a group of people called the Bereans who studied to say, is this so? Is this so? And I'm telling you, this is so. Jesus said this to a group of people with him. He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? One day I heard that it changed my life. I said, okay, well, that's the minimum. I went on and set that standard in my life. Okay, God, I'm with you. The minimum is 1 hour. Let's do it. And then I got blessed as a young man. I became a part of a local church. One day went into my boss where I worked at, a regular job I worked at, and said, I'm done. Didn't tell my wife, I advise you not to do that. I was young, you know, thinking I'm on fire with God. You know, so I went in there and told him that. Then I came to the little church I was at, which now I look back, that church was crazy, but they knew how to pray. Came back to the church, talked to the pastor, said, hey, pastor, I quit my job yesterday. This was so hilarious. I told you the church was crazy. He said, oh, yeah, I've been waiting for you. He said, how much did they pay you? Which they won't pay me nothing. He said, oh, I can pay that for sure. Yeah, it was that bad. It was that bad. You know, church sound. You know what I'm saying? He can pay that. You know, that joke was low. That joke was low. That joke was low. He said, I got you, bro. I got you. And basically, what I did in my early Christian life, my job was my job. If he didn't have anything for me to do, I would be up in the attic of the church praying 8 hours a day. And basically, 200 days a year, that's what I was doing. For 5 years, that was my life. That's why I'm talking on prayer. Because this is real to me. This is real. You be in a room, you and God and the devil trying to get in. You get to know God. Or you lose your mind. And so the whole 1 hour thing, devil like be mad at me. Like, if I pray an hour, he like, dude. So prayer. But look at this. This is what I want you to see. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need before you ask him. See, once again, don't ever get impressed with your prayer life either. Go ahead and touch your neighbor and tell him that. So don't get impressed. If you do stop praying, don't get impressed. So if you do stop praying, bro, don't get if you ever stop praying, bro, don't get impressed. Don't get impressed. Don't get impressed. Amen? Because God already knows. So now I want you to see, I like laughter because I want you to feel what I'm saying. So then what is God after if he already knows everything that you're going to pray? What is he really after? Say it again. I'm hearing all the right answers. Go ahead. All right, let's try it. It's too much. Go ahead. Communication. What else? He wants your, in other words, start with an R. Relationship. Who said that? Back row working back there, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Brother, sit on the back row to be in charge. All right, relationship. God is after relationship. Now, for dudes, that's kind of crazy. God is after relationship. That's why we struggle with prayer. Prayer's about relationship. Yeah, go ahead, feel it all the way down to your toes. God wants you to communicate with him. Huh? Come on now, we turn that all into touchy-feely. Oh, my wife always wants me to communicate with her. And then sometimes the church, we back it up. Yeah, you know, but that's how ladies are, so you got to go ahead and do it. No. You need to be communicating with God. Because of your lack of communicating with God, you have a lack of communication with your wife. And I'm preaching now. communication is not feminine, gentlemen. That's a lie of the culture. In the beginning, God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, everything that exists because God said, communication is a godly thing. I don't feel like talking all the time. Sometimes you can be talking without communicating. Communication is something you work at to build relationship. Prayer will teach you how to be a better communicator with your wife. Great day, I'm on. Your sex life will go to another level if you pray more. Okay, now I got some people signing up. I'm down, bro. I'm with you now, bro. You're talking my language now, bro. Yeah, bro. I'm going to go home tonight and pray with that sister. Sister, I want you to go to the prayer room with me. We're going to have some intimacy.
Next time, open.
Lock it down, baby. Lock it down. Right at the front. Lock it down. Boom. We got them. Everybody in. Boom. Oh, we're in the room. We're going to get in here. Thankful that I didn't say it today. That's right. I might use it next week if they give me a bigger room. That's right. Yeah, yeah, we're going to retitle the whole class, How to Improve Your Sex Life. Prayer. Oh, man, what? Yeah, prayer. Yeah, got you, baby, got you. All right, so here we go. Jesus the God-man. Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Last time you said that to God. Last time you said, man, I would pray. I just don't know how to pray. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Come on, man. Didn't go to Jesus. Actually said, Jesus, teach me to pray. Man, I'm preaching today, boy. I didn't even know I was going to say all that. No. I mean, but it's right there. That's what they said. They said, look, teach us. Go to Jesus. Teach me to pray. See, so the real deal is, again, do we really believe this stuff that we say we believe, or we try to show people believe because we go to a building at a certain time of day on a Sunday, you know, and we do that on a regular weekly basis, so that must mean I'm a Christian. When if I go into a barn, it doesn't turn me into a horse. A horse is a horse. Because there's a horse. That's it. Going into a building don't make you a Christian. It don't make you a follower of Jesus Christ. But when you go there and you are participating in the realities of what it means to live for Jesus, then what it does is gives an exponential opportunity when we gather, like what's happening here today. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged. I'm just encouraged because y'all up in here. I got encouraged when y'all showed up before we even said anything. I'm like, they came to the breakout on prayer? I'm encouraged.
It was a sword.
Yeah, they work too, man. That was my small one. I got a light joint like this. I got a serious one, bro. So prayer, come on, teach us to pray. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, would you teach me how to pray? Would you teach me to pray? Now, I just tricked you. That says, teach us to pray. We add the how. Jesus assumes the how is, you know how to talk, don't you? You know how to pray. I just need to pray. That's what they ask. Teach us to pray. Not how to pray. Teach us to pray. And he said unto them, when you pray, again, told you earlier, Jesus makes this assumption that you're going to be a people of prayer. It's another verse. Again, I love to say it. I'm not going to quote it. But again, go read the whole Bible. You'll find it in there. This is what the Bible says about the house of God. My house shall be called the house of preaching. Okay, we got two people over here that really read the Bible. Here's one. What does it say? My house shall be called the what? House of prayer. And then what does it say after that? For all people. Come on now. Huh? Hello? We got double trouble. Because some church you go to, you say it's the house of prayer for all white people. You go to another one, say the house of prayer for all black people. The house of prayer for all, I mean, what's up with that? It's us. That's culture. And God is saying, break it down. And so what happened? He called a new Noble Warrior Conference. We got everybody up in here together. Look at that. Smile. Smile at somebody that looked different than you. You go, come on, man. Hey, look, how many of you thought it was going to be a black session in heaven? Raise your hand. Tell the truth. How you thought it was going to be a white section? No, it's going to be all us together. Amen. Clap your hands. Would you clap your hands on that, bro? That was a clap of hands right there. All right, we got to zoom on here. The prayer Jesus taught. Look at this. I love it. I love it. You see, I changed the name of it. The prayer Jesus taught. Y'all call it the Lord's Prayer. No, it's the prayer he taught us to pray. Not the prayer he praying. He prayed another prayer in John 17. This is the one he taught us to pray. After this, Matthew 6, 9 through 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, again, what am I doing here? I'm trying to raise the bar of why prayer is such a great adventure. When they say teach us to pray, this is what Jesus taught. Pray like crazy prayer. That the kingdom of God would come in the earth, and that the will of my Father would be done on the earth just like it is in heaven. All right, let me ask you this. Anybody in heaven with no toes, cut off toes like me, what's going to happen when I get to heaven? Come on, man. It's hard. Oh, man. Come on. Work with me, bro. You understand? So at some point, you got to believe for that in the earth. Wherever you see brokenness and pain and all of that. I love how somebody said it earlier today. Yeah, there's suffering here. We go through suffering. But the vision for us here is that the kingdom of heaven will come to earth. And check this out. You walk by and not by sight. Okay? So you never move by what you see. You believe what you know that the word of God says that you should believe. And the word of God tells you this. This is your belief. That the kingdom of heaven will come to earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's the deal. Most of us have been taught of our lives to want to go to heaven. Yeah. You see that? And most of us, we settle with that, man. When we all get to heaven, we sing that for day of rejoicing. Yeah. Man, I'm messing my little thing up. Think sensitive. What a day of rejoicing that would be. But if you read what Jesus taught them, when heaven comes to earth, what a day of rejoicing that. Somebody need to write that song. When heaven comes to earth. Now, that's a little black gospel for you there. We'll sing and shout the victory. But that's what Jesus told us to believe. Believing for. On earth as it is in heaven. Boom. Here we go. Zoom. What is prayer? Boom. There we go. Prayer is having a conversation with our Father God. That's one simple definition. But you should have your own definition. What is prayer to you? What is that? Our Father God honors simple prayers. Just like a child with a godly father. Godly earthly father, as we grow and mature, our conversations become more precise and clear. Remember? Remember when your son or your daughter was 3 or 4 years old? You got that, dad, can I have a boo-boo? And you said, there you go. You didn't know what they were saying, but you gave them something. You know what I'm saying? There you go. You know, but they knew that you knew they wanted something. So you gave, I mean, come on, do you think? The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Whatever you ask of the Father in the name of the Son, he'll give it to you. But you know what? There's a lack of us pressing in and asking God for what? The things that he already promised that he would give. The things he already told. He wants heaven on earth. How many of you are praying it on a regular basis? How many of you even pray that prayer, like you say, they call it the Lord's Prayer, and you're like believing it or you're just doing it out of rote? But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I ain't really, I want that. Another craziness in my life is I'm the chairman of the school board of City of Richmond. I like to tell people that. So if you're not praying, you are now starting to pray. You just felt bad for me right there. You said, oh, my God, I got to pray for that brother. Woo, that brother needs prayer. You know what I mean? Your prayer life just went to another level right there. Just the thought of that. And I'm telling you, for real, that's it. That's where I get stretched at. That's where I get stretched at, buddy. You know, like, you see what I mean? I'm like on up in here, but I'm like, preach. Get up on the school board, boy. Woo-wee. I'm like, and God be like, I'm just saying, God, bro. I'm the God that was with you at the Noble Warriors Conference. I'm like, where you at, dude? I'm like, he said, you walk by faith and not by sight. God be coming up on me, buddy. It's your preaching self. Now, you get up in here in the school, boy, what you see, bro? What you see now? What you see for these 24,000 children when you got adults acting stupid, pressing into their agendas versus doing what's best for children? And then you try to bring some mediation and they blame you. Mr. Coleman, you didn't do this. Mr. Coleman, you didn't do that. Mr. Coleman. I dare you to say something back because you're a preacher. But they don't know. They don't know. They don't know. Secret agent, man. Oh, yeah, bro. I'm crying out to God. I believe that stuff has not happened to the city of Richmond school system because of the prayers of the saints. Yeah. Clap your hands on that. See, you got to believe that. See, if you're not believing that for your city, if you're not praying for your city, if the only thing you're praying for is for your church to grow, for your church to be successful, the scripture said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done at churches as it is in heaven. On earth. As it, for God so loved pray, Dana Martin, bro. I'm loving you, bro. I'm just feeling you, me and you. You with me, bro. Stay with me, all right? As we grow and mature, our conversations become more precise and clear. We should forever be dependent upon our Heavenly Father. Therefore, we should never stop speaking with Him. Father, right now, on all the laughter, it's real simple what we're trying to get out of tonight, today. Is that to whatever level each individual in here, their prayer life would increase. Their relationship with you would increase. Their expectation that heaven would come to earth would increase. Just because they choose to be obedient and pray. All right, here we go. Boom. Thessalonians 5:17 again. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. And you probably think, what does that mean? Go ask Jesus. Well, how am I going to pray without ceasing? Go ask Jesus. What does that look like? What does it look like? And I'm telling you, let me say something to you. Press yourself to do practical things. On my way driving up here, I'm from Richmond. Boom, I'm on the road, I'm doing my thing. I'm praying. I'm talking to God. I'm saying, God, bless the people today. I'm serious, man. I'm blessed. And I'm like sitting in the service, and they singing the songs. I'm crying. I'm like, wow, God. Hey, Jay, God, you hear our prayers, man. I just knew you wanted to do something here today. Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And again, we're in a blessed nation. We don't even know about really going to jail or prison and stuff here for our faith. Now again, I'm just telling my true story. I used to be, for a season of my life, I was a street preacher. That's right, right, Richmond, Virginia, on the street with a megaphone, baby, preaching. One of the most hilarious things, they had this thing called Sixth Street Marketplace, where they had all the food section was in one section. So you had to come by this one door in, baby, and I'd be right there at lunchtime. Preaching. And every day, button up, nice suit on, brother would come. Say, you and your white Jesus, I'll never believe in him. And I kept on preaching. Every day, he would stop and whisper that in my ear. And I keep on preaching. Didn't bother me. You know why? Because it was getting to him. You see what I'm saying? You got to walk by faith. You got to walk by sight. I remember one day I had my little daughter out there. She was like 5 years old with a big sign, come to Jesus. And one of my sisters came to me and said, you brainwashing that child. I said, you're absolutely correct. And right now that girl is, both of my daughters, they're not playing. They don't do it the way I do it, but they're doing it all the way for Jesus. Especially my youngest one. My youngest one is like, a leader. She's in on campus, a thing called InterVarsity, leading worship. She's doing reconciliation just like this. I mean, the girl, serious. The oldest one, whoo, working with me at the church, doing crazy stuff. Come on, yeah. Brainwash them. That's right. I had them on the streets at 5, holding up a sign. Give your life to Jesus. You brainwashing that child. You right. Come on. Uh-oh. Y'all coming back strong on that side, baby. Call it out, baby. Call it out. That's what's going on right now. I go down the street and all I see is young people with something in their ear. And I'm thinking, I wonder how they listen to the Bible. Brother, y'all listen to the Bible. Everybody was thinking they listen to the Bible. Come on, man. Hellers. This is real, gentlemen. I brought the sword out for real. And this is where we fight. We fight on our knees. We fight in prayer. We fight when we know we're praying. So when we look out and when people on the job complain about how jacked up the world is, we can look them in the face and say, hey, but I'm praying. And I believe that my God can change things. Well, if I say they're going to think I'm crazy, they already think you crazy. You believe in an invisible God. Wake up, friend. Lose your identity in Christ. Earth dwellers don't think that they're not excited about you. You've got to help them know that you don't care and you're excited about what you're excited about. It's our time now. Why? The world is so jacked up that when we go off for God, come on, they'll be like, whoa. But you know what? We're trying to be relevant.
Well, we want to make sure that our message is relevant and, you know, we don't want to offend people.
Hello? They ain't worrying about offending you. Huh? Look, dude, look, this is what trips me out. This is what trips me out. They sing songs about do it to me and my booty and all that, and then they get up and say, I just want to thank God. What God you talking about? And so what's happening, there's this mixture going on. And so what needs to happen is men rising up in prayer who are unashamed. We're not condemning those people. My people are destroyed because of a... It's obvious there's some lack of knowledge somewhere, because the song you wrote is about having sex with somebody outside of marriage. So how could God have given you that when that's outside of his principles? Well, I didn't really mean God gave it to me. I mean, God gave me the breath to do it. So he gave you the breath to sin against him. But if you never heard that, you just think, well, it's okay that I acknowledge God because he gave me breath, which is true. You don't get breath from the devil. Life came from God. True life comes from God. See, now again, what did I do? I just took you deeper. And that's what's happening on your job. Somebody got to take people deeper. Somebody got to take people deeper. This week, this Monday, you're going to have your chance. I'm getting ready to put you on blast right now. Somebody come up to you Monday and say, what you do this weekend, don't you escape out. You see, I was in a room with a crazy black dude talking about prayer. Go ahead, throw me under the bus. I don't care, but just talk. Dude's crazy talking about prayer. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit. It's a whole nother level. And they that worship me must worship me in spirit. In truth. You better learn. And I ain't talking about no religious talk. I'm talking about real. You better know yourself. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You better know who you are spiritually. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I pray that God sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. You better know who you are spiritually. You better know who that is. Who are you? Spirit. Jesus said, these words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. We are one spirit. With all those scriptures, I'm not going to tell you where they are, but they're all scriptures, what I just said. You better know what you believe. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. The what? The good news of Jesus. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Again, I can stand up here bold, unashamed, say, I already prayed for every one of you. I didn't pray for you by name, but I prayed for you as a group. God, I pray for the people today who come into that workshop. I pray for the people who come to know that you would move by, and this has been going on for weeks. Really? Yeah, man, I believe this stuff. So now, you know what? You're here because of my prayers.
Hold up, bro, I can't hear on my own, bro, hold up. don't even try to do that.
Prayer is not optional, gentlemen. Let's raise up a cry and a standard in the land. Real men pray. Go ahead and say that out loud.
Real men pray.
Say it again.
Real men pray.
One more time.
Real men pray.
There we go. Prayer is for men because prayer is what makes the life of faith an adventure. If you notice how I even try to present this, you see, I'm going like, because you know, I know men don't want, you know, men trying to catch the biggest fish in the whole ocean. I got him. Jane slipped off. Then you talk about the one that got away. That's men. You didn't even see the fish. I knew that thing. Man, that thing was huge. Did you see it? No, man, I just felt it on the line, man. That thing was huge. That's men. Men want an adventure. And so, come on, have an adventure with God. So how you doing, man? Yeah, man, I just prayed that God would change the whole nation of America. What? You prayed what? I prayed that God would change the nation of America. Why would you, come on, man, you're just blowing smoke. No, I ain't blowing smoke. He's able to do that. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what I can even ask, think, or imagine, he could do more than that because I thought he could do that. He can do more than that. Who are you talking to like that? You don't even talk to your Christian friends like that. So I know you ain't talking to no earth dwellers like that. come on, man. The life of faith requires a dependence on God. Once again, you talk like that when you're depending on God. Prayer is how I communicate with the God I am dependent upon. Pride and prayer are never a pair.
Great day. Yeah, you get a point on that one, bro. That one worked. Now you got something. That's God. You ain't think of that. Yeah, which I heard the brother up here thinking, yeah, he ain't think of that. God told him that. I think God do talk to him now. That's a good one. Pride and prayer are never a pair. If you find yourself in a lack of prayer, it's because pride is lingering somewhere. Man, it's going to a whole poem. The posture of prayer, this is in Kings, we're running out of time. Because thy hearts was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Now again, please forgive me, I don't have time to do full Bible studies, so you know I'm yanking stuff out of the scripture. But in this case right here, what I want you to kind of grasp here, and you can go back and read the whole 2 Kings 20, second chapter. But he's speaking to a specific individual, and this is what he's telling him. Because thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. You see, what we've got to see, and this is how I see myself for my city, the city of Richmond that I'm in. I'm telling you, I spend hours and hours. We got a place called the Rye Hope. It started out as the International House of Prayer. I was one of the people that helped found it. Now it's Rye Hope. It's doing some other things too. But I believe in that. I believe in that praying, consistently praying. Why? Because we recognize so much of our world is under like desolation. And what I've seen in the east end of Richmond, one of the most impoverished areas of Richmond, the most concentrated area of public housing and poverty and all of that, we're watching God start to turn it around. Watching God start to turn it around. I'm in a church, and I'm just going to keep it real. I'm in a church, again, right now, we started in my house, but now we're around 150-something people. Every Sunday before service, we've been doing this for 8 years now. We have an hour of prayer before the service. Okay? We have never had more than 10 people show up. We have prayer meeting during the week. Every now and then, we've had maybe 10 or 15 people show up. So I get it. I get it, man. I get that. But what I'm looking for is who else would join the remnant? Who else would join and say, you know what? I'm in. I remember the days it was me and one other lady when we were meeting in a high school building. We didn't have a room to pray in. We just were in the hallway praying an hour before the service. Now that's been going on like 8 years. Now, like you say, it's more than us two now, but it's happening. Somebody got to be willing to be the one. And guess what?
Come on.
The Bible says that basically coming out of the womb, there is an anointing on men to lead. Where are we in the area of prayer? Where are we? We're missing in action, gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I appreciate now that Mike and them have made a commitment. Almost any one of these you'll go to, most of the time it's going to have a session on prayer. It takes courage to pray, and that's the other thing I want you to see. So here we got Samuel. For you, O Lord, chapter 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 27 through 28. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. And this is, this whole thing about building the temple and all this stuff. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. It takes courage to pray. Praying is not weakness. Praying is courageous. It's courageous. It's manly. For those of you who got sons and daughters, there you go. You got to cast it to your son. You got to get in there and pray with your sons, man. Pray with your daughters. And that's what I've done with my daughters. Man, my daughters, I tell you, man, I love my daughters because they listen to me and they listen to other great Bible teachers and people who taught them. But my oldest one, one day, you know, they had their own room. So my oldest one had her own room. And just before she went to college, you know, she finally let me sneak in there. I went in there, and she had up on the wall Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. And I said, great day, babe. She said, yeah, every day I put my hand on that before I leave the house, before I leave the room. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. I said, great day, girl. She said, yeah, I've been doing that. Courage. It takes courage to pray. Why? Because you have an expectation. Oh, Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Gentlemen, let me tell you something. God is for you, or he would have killed you by now. Great day, baby. Is that real, baby? I'm looking right out at you, man. It don't take a lot of sin for God to have to kill you. That's it. You should be dead. But we don't wake up feeling that way. We don't wake up going, whoa, let me hit my knees. God, let me see another day when I know I'm jacked up. Don't think too highly of yourself. That's, you know, again, that's my fight now all the time. That's a fight all the time. Because I got to that stage of life, you know, people want to give you awards. And I'm like, and even my wife saying nice stuff about me. Watch out, bro. Humble yourself. That's just to be ready to get on my case, dude. How to enter into prayer. Always position yourself with humility. Honoring God, you're going before a holy God. You want to go before a holy God. Again, the culture has taught us to despise leadership. And we don't realize, and that's why we got to pray for our sons and daughters, that spirit would get on them, even how they relate to God. If you notice a lot of young people that don't go to church and all this stuff, it's because they hate authority. They don't want any authority in their lives. But what has happened? The church has failed because we've misused authority, so people have a wrong perspective of authority versus that authority is there to bless them. And so those of us who are in authority, especially fathers, we have to model that to our children. That the authority we have is not to intimidate and scare them, it's to protect them. And I'm preaching again. But we got to model that. And so even when we go before God, we have to go with that, like, wow, God, thank you that I get to come and bow before you today. You're a holy God. That's why it says in that prayer, hallowed be thy name. Brokenness, trust, reverence. We're looking to God. We trust him. We reverence him. We're in awe of him. But we also have boldness and joy. I come boldly. Why? Why can I come boldly? Because of what? Come on, man. Oh, both sides. Clap your hands. Both of y'all sides. Got that. Hey, man. The blood of Jesus, man. You got to believe in that, man. You got to roll up on the devil and say, devil, shut up because I'm covered in the blood. Nah, 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 nah. What you going to do with that? But don't do that if you ain't serious because the dude will come back at you. You got to be ready. Say, hold up. I got Jesus with me. See that? Good brother, man. Oh, see that, man? I'm messing up back. Forward. James 5:16b. This is huge. Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man, right where we started, a righteous man is a man who has encountered and accepted Jesus Christ, who is fully devoted to him, of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. This is a key reason why we pray. Dynamic power is released into the heavenlies. Gentlemen, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. There was a war raging. And here in our nation, I believe, over the past years especially, we have refused to be waging war in the heavenlies. And we've seen our country decrease. But I believe that there is an arising. There is a raising up that's coming. And some of you are a part of that right here in this room that would say, preacher, nope. You don't know. You don't know, bro. You don't know how much I've been praying, bro. Some of you are saying, you don't know how much I'm going to be praying from down. The ESV says it this way. The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working. NIV, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. My friend Mike back there, he works for a huge company. And basically when we talk, basically what Mike always says is it comes down to the bottom line. That's how the earth dwellers do it. It comes down to the bottom line. Gentlemen, I want to say to us, it comes down to the bottom line. Are our prayers powerful and effective? Do we believe? Amplified, that's the whole version. One of the things I want you to see in this, when I put it up, it said, confess to one another, therefore, your faults. Okay, we got to be bold and courageous with that. We're supposed to be finishing here at what time?
Yeah, we got 15 minutes.
All right, thank you, bro. You own it. Boom. You good, Rusty. Rusty ain't playing like, keep going, bro. Keep going. All right, there we go. So, go ahead, Rusty. You're a good brother. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. Gentlemen, I want to say this to you unashamed, boldly. They're doing it. They're dealing with it right now in the auditorium. We got crisis going on with sexual impurity and stuff like that. But you know why it's going on? Because we're afraid to confess our faults one to another. We're afraid to confess our weaknesses, so then it ends up becoming sin. Now we're ashamed. Right. Versus going on just straight up, hey, bro, could you pray with me in this? I remember in my early days, again, as an early believer when I was really struggling with this kind of stuff, I had another friend of mine, and he was struggling with it. And we would hold each other accountable. Because we got to the point where we were honest enough to say, hey, man, I'm struggling with this. And what I discovered was, if I confess my struggle, I usually didn't get to the sin. Great, thanks. Thank you. If I saw the darkness trying to come, I put light on it. Now, I want you to catch that. I saw the darkness trying to come, and I put light on it. Here's something, and you can try this test anytime you want to try it. Darkness will never overcome light.
That's right.
Even a pin light will penetrate the most darkest darkness. Right. If you turn on a pin light, it penetrates. That's amazing. And so don't be afraid of the dark. Craig, I'm preaching now. Go ahead and tell your friend, stop being afraid of the dark. Tell your friend, tell your neighbor that says, stop being afraid of the dark. Just turn on the light. There you go. Turn on the light. Turn on the light. Just turn on the light. Stop being afraid of the dark. Stop being ashamed of the dark. Just turn the light on it and watch what happens. And then let me say this to you. If you ever get betrayed because you turned on the light, find somebody else to turn the light on to. Craig, damn. Just go to somebody else. Just say, you a dingbat. I'm going over here. You condemning me when I'm coming to you confessing I'm struggling. You're going to condemn me. I need to be with somebody else. I love you, but I'm out. Confess your faults, your slips, your faults of your offenses, your sins. Pray also for one another. What does they do? Pray one for another. Pray for one for another. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Gentlemen, if you are in local churches, please make sure that if you're in a men's group or any of that, that you all spend time praying for one another. That's how you build prayer into your own personal life, is when you're praying for someone and someone's praying for you. But here's the deal. Someone can pray for you, but they can never really pray for you. Okay, Dave, man, boy, that was God, too. God told me that one, too. Brother said, there go another one. That brother ain't that smart. There you go. For what purpose? That you may be healed. You see that? It's about healing. It's about transformation. Same thing for our communities. Stop saying how bad they are. It's how messed up it is. Pray for it. Pray, pray, pray. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Confession is a doorway to real prayer. Also, you know, you want to challenge yourself, especially in your personal prayer. Be unashamed to tell God what he already knows. The way you know that you really believe that God is God is when you say it's nasty stuff that you did to him because you know he already know it. So why act like, I ain't going to say that to God? So you must not believe he God did. Because he already know. He already know. So why are you saying it to him? To kill it in yourself. Amen. The ultimate goal of Satan is to get you to be ashamed of the fact that you've been born again. That you actually hate sin, even though sometimes you find yourself caught up in it. The reality of who you are spiritually is you hate sin. The only way you convince yourself of that is when you sin, you call it out. Boom, that ain't me. That I gave into it, but that's not who I am.
Come on.
Huh? You ain't got to kill a bull. You ain't got to wait till the priest pull it in and see if he come back out or whatever, and the bells ring and he died because sin was on him. You got to wait for him to do all that. You got to go through all that craziness, man. You say, boom, confess. Boom, there it is. Oh, I'm preaching. Faith, take it. I felt the devil going down. He's like, shut up, preacher. I need them to stay in condemnation. I need them to stay bound up so they don't even talk to God. Because I understand if two shall agree in touching anything, it shall be done. So I need to take out as many as I can take out from this praying stuff. And the way I take them out is I convince them that even after they've called on Jesus, when they slip, when they fall, when they make mistakes, that's something they need to be ashamed of. Yeah, they need to be broken about it, but they understand that the blood of Jesus is there to cover that. Yeah. Shall we continue to sin? God forbid. But should we wallow in sin?
Never.
Never. I'm just saying, baby. I'm just saying. The greatest man of all time was? Jesus was greatest man of all time, and guess what he did? I rest my case. Well, I don't have time to pray. I don't feel like praying. Well, whatever. Who in here wants to be like Jesus? Get your hands up as a Holy Ghost stick up. Get them up. Everybody want to be like Jesus. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Matthew, here's Jesus praying, 26:36. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Jesus prayed. Luke 6:11 and 13. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. They weren't playing about, they're like, Jesus, we're done with you. And what did Jesus do when all that was going on? Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. I want to challenge you. Any college students here? College students. Anybody been to college? I'm sorry. That was not meant to be a joke.
Yeah.
Anybody ever did an all-nighter for a test? Okay? That's just normal. If you're in college, you're one of those. How many of you also did an all-nighter for God? If you haven't, you want to do one of those. You want to do one of those, baby. Just say, me and God, all night. We're going for it. Because I want to be like
Jesus.
Boom. 2 Timothy, that's another great verse. Verse 3 is what I want to look at. I thank God. 2 Timothy verses, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. But verse 3 is so important. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. How do you get a pure conscience? By confessing, by being honest with God. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. And again, what I want you to see here is Paul praying for somebody else night and day. I don't want you to miss that. When you do your all-night prayer, make sure it's not just about you. Okay? Pray for somebody else. Pray for somebody else. Ephesians 1, 15 through 17. Woo! And once again, here's Paul saying, making mention of you in my prayer. In my prayer. So we got Jesus praying. Here we got Paul praying. I'm telling you, pray, pray, pray. This is biblical. This is not us making it up. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Somebody talked about it earlier. There is a measure of suffering that even happens in prayer where you got to persevere, where you got to look like, man, is anything actually happening? You know, I mean, early days I'm doing all this praying, and the dude put me out of his church. Then I went to the next church, dude put me out of his church. I said, man, great day. I'm like, God, is it? What's going on? He said, just keep praying, bro. Just keep praying. Don't worry about that. Don't be mad at people. I'm God. I let them do that to you. For what? For my purposes. One dude put me out of church, kicked me to the curb totally, like, blizz out. On his deathbed, called me over. Said, man, I saw a vision. I saw a vision of you preaching hundreds of people. And I just want to tell you, I apologize for the way I treated you. I really want to bring you back to the church so that people can see that we've reconciled. He died 2 weeks.
before he could get to do that. But God let me see, boom. You all right, bro? Keep praying. Worry about that. Anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer. Whenever you feel yourself getting stressed, you need something to happen, pray. Versus, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I? When you find yourself going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What should you do?
Pray.
What should you do?
Pray.
Well, here's another one. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What should you do?
Pray.
Very good. All right, boom. There we go. We already looked at those. 1 John 5:13-15. Verse 14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's all I would say to you, gentlemen. I would say to you, let's keep it real. The best way to pray is to pray something you already see in the scriptures that God wants to happen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, any questions about prayer? Real quick, any questions? Questions? I'm down, I'm good. Questions? Questions? Comments about prayer? Any comments?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
20 years of corrupting my soul before I became a Christian.
There you go.
How do you silence that when you're...
There you go, there you go.
There
you go. Yeah, you call it out. You just call it out. That's it. That's good. That's beautiful.
Just replace, if you feel you're going to do something sinful, replace that with God's work.
There you go. That's it.
Don't beat yourself up on, I feel like I'm going to sin. I did sin. Just go to God's work. And so the more you go to God's word, that'll replace that feeling of wanting to sin.
Go ahead, Rustin. Take over the class. So I'm talking about it. Brother told me I was slowing down. Brother, I know you got something to say. I'm talking about, bro. Slow this thing down. No, that's it. That's good. That's a good word. You may want to get him to pray with you sometime today before you go. All right, boom. Yes, sir. That's right. That's good, Mike. I love that. That's right. It's a privilege. Because again, remember, God is holy. So you ain't trying to get too close to him without him killing you. You see what I'm saying? But I'm just saying. You know? And so it's a privilege. I mean, literally, this is funny. I get to say this because it's the truth. So I'm riding down the road, and that's what I thought today. It's like, man, I'm getting ready to say your name. Don't let me have an accident. Because you're holy, God. You really are holy. I think one of the songs we were singing, it said that God is holy. And again, we live in a culture where we kind of lost that. Now, I want you to hear my heart. I do want you to pray, but I do want you to catch that reverence piece. That this is, like Mike said, wow. Man, that fact that you even let me say your name, you remember in the Old Testament, they couldn't even spell out their full letters. They had to like leave spaces, like don't actually say Jehovah. You got J-H-V-H. Don't put everything together, because that's how holy he was, man. We've lost some of that. Yes, sir. Hey, I want to honor you, because I meant to honor you earlier, because I was sitting behind you. Who is that? Was that your grandson? Who was that beside you in the first session? Your son?
It's a pastor's brother.
Oh, man, but you were loving up on that young brother, man. Just kept encouraging him. I said, that's how you do it, man. You just helping him make sure he was understanding what to be engaged with. Boom. Thank you for that. I meant to tell you that. Go ahead. What you got?
I like this push.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Pray until something happens, baby. Huh? Got to keep pushing, man. That's good, bro. That's a good one. Hold it. Here's another one for you. B-I-B-L-E. The basic instructions before you leave the earth, baby. That's why you need to be up on the Bible on a regular basis. This is how you live. Yes, sir.
How do we avoid getting caught up praying for personal will as opposed to God's?
All right. Now, that's a good one. Is that, from one, you forgive yourself and you realize that God does want to bless you. He does want you to pray for some of your personal things. You have not because you ask not. But what you have to do is be honest about listening to your prayers and just have a balance. If you listen to your prayers and then 99% you, and then you say, oh, and yeah, remember Susie, then you know you got a problem. Okay, so that's it, that's it. But somebody said it, I think he said, Rusty said, I mean, don't get caught up in condemnation. God is not like the old dude with the big beard waiting. I'm waiting till you make a mistake. Boom, you see you were wrong on that. That is so totally not God. How do you know that? He killed his son for you. How much more? How much more? He gave his son for you, and we're worrying about, when am I offending God? He'll let you know. He will. Boom, we got a couple more, and we're going to let you go. Boom, boom, boom. I saw a hand.
He doesn't want you to babble.
There you go.
Just talk.
Come on. Come on up, Rusty. Come on up, bro. Just come on up. No, no, seriously. I want you to stand up here. I'm serious. Because you bless my heart, man. Will y'all give God thanks for this, brother? Yes. Go ahead. Say what you got to say.
I was gonna say, just like those that are parents and have children, like you want to give to your child.
Come on.
You know, if a child comes to you and says, I skinned my knee, we don't scold them. You put your arm around them.
Come on, bro.
So how much more is the loving God of heaven, of the universe, is going to care about us and wants to, he just wants to hear from us. He already knows what we need.
Come on. And some of us are dumb enough that when our children fall down, what you doing falling? I'm just dumb, man. My dad was dumb like that, man. Dude, dumb. Boy, I ain't touching you. You know how to run. You know how to run. You started falling down, brother. Bro, I'm bleak, bro. Could you work with me? I'm bleak. God ain't like that.
No.
Some of us, you know, been through stuff with jacked up dads and all that. God's not like that. Let me go. Here we go. Thank y'all so much. Sorry about that. All right. Hey, boom. This is what we're going to do. Turn your prayer off. Pay off real quick and pray a short prayer. That's it. You pray for somebody else. Go ahead, real quick. Just pay off and pray for somebody else. Pray off for somebody else. There you go. Thank y'all. Father, I just bless my brother, God. Pray that you find favor for him. Lord, just bless Jeff. Encourage his heart, God. Thank you for him being here today. Lord, I pray increase on his prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We just want to thank everybody for being a part of effective prayer. Amen. Peace.
Hey, that's your son. Bless y'all. Praise God. Y'all want some slim dips? Oh, wow. Thank you, brother. Glad to have your dad with you. This is deep read, but I want you to have it. All right, that's a little deep there, but you read it, okay? All right,
I'll take one of these.
Okay, great. Back to a prayer. The workshop, that's the workshop right there. Thank you, man. You encouraged my heart. Man. Yeah, it would. Thank you. But look, you take one of these, man. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank y'all, man. Bless you, Irwin. Yes, sir. Good courage. I'm looking out there. You connected with me.
Give me.
Oh, come on.
Bring it.
Bless you, man. Bless you. All right, yeah. Be sure you sign the list. If you have a sign the list, please do that. If you need a copy, I got a few copies of the workshop. If you like that, and I also got a little thing on prayer. You still bless you. You too. You encourage my heart. You did too. Thank y'all. Oh, you are now. Oh.
Well, thanks for listening, men. I trust this message has provided practical encouragement to you in your journey with Christ. Please visit noblewarriors.org to learn more about how Noble Warriors works to help churches reach and build men. God bless you.